Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/Mr. Media. That's where you'll find more than 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MR Media. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Apparently, you don't have to be a complete idiot to find yourself reading one of the complete idiot's guides on some subject in which you're interested. Okay, maybe you do, but play along with the premise here, okay, folks? Let's say, for example, that you've never started a business or never started one well or successfully. Something you might consider is your approach to that basic element, the business plan. So many of us get a great idea and then try to execute it without thinking through what that idea could be when it grows up, aside from valuable. So with the economy tightening up and still fighting its way out of the dumpster, I thought it might make for a very special episode of Mr. Media to invite author Gwen Moran on the show. She is the co-author, with Sue Johnson, of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Business Plans, now in its second edition. Gwen, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. And listen, if you want to consider this the complete idiot's guide to being on Mr. Media, we'll go with that.
Well, you know, the premise behind the complete idiot's guides is not to impugn our readers, of course, but what our goal is to really take topics and boil them down to the simplest level. So while a business plan may seem like a daunting task to undertake for any busy entrepreneur, really what we've done is simplified the process so you get the benefit without the headaches of traditional business planning models.
Yeah, I've been thinking, knowing we'd be talking today, I've been thinking about the whole idea of the Complete Idiot's Guide series, and I think it's admirable that the publishing company found a way to say, hey, you can acknowledge that you don't know anything about this, but we don't have to call you stupid. You know, it's like, you know, it's a tightrope there, because it'd be very easy to slip and say, hey, you big stupid idiot, come here. But, you know, it's like, okay, you know, you pick up these books and you acknowledge there's something I don't know. And for a lot of people, I guess that's kind of hard. Me, I have no problem. There's so much I don't know.
Well, I think that's a healthy place to live. I think that when we seek knowledge and we seek new ways of doing things, we get better. And business planning is no different. Let's face it, it's a tough economy out there for the entrepreneur. The National Venture Capital Association came out with a release in late January that said that venture capital is down to levels that haven't been seen since 1997. Which is, you know, it's a discouraging environment. We all know that credit markets are tight after the financial crisis, and we're seeing signs of recovery. And I think we're going to see, with this whole quote-unquote jobless recovery, a move toward entrepreneurship. People are going to go out and make their own way and start their own businesses and follow their dreams. And that's where I think our book can really help them.
Well, I want to ask you, I think 5 years have passed since volume one of the book was published. What's changed so much at this point to precipitate a second volume?
Well, obviously there are great advances in technology. There was some data from 2005 that we needed to update, but you know, we hit a nerve. People who have read this book and used this book have been very happy with it. So it made sense to reinvest some time and take a look at the premises that we were advocating and give entrepreneurs new tools. We have an updated list of online tools, obviously Social media has changed the marketing game almost entirely for many, many businesses. But at the core, Bob, to be honest, the principles of business planning that we put forth in the first edition remain the same. You really have to have some basic core elements, and when those exist in your business plan, whether you're going for financing or you're using it for your own management purposes to start, grow, benchmark your business, it's a useful tool, and it's going to help you. We have about five elements that we feel should be in every business plan. You need a reason for being. You need a purpose and a mission. What is it that your business is trying to do? You need to map out your operations. Who's going to do the work? How is it going to get done? What equipment are you going to need? For your day-to-day operations, what elements need to exist for you to be able to operate well? Then the money, which is always the, you know, the tough part. You need to know how much you have, how much you're going to need. And this is a part where a lot of entrepreneurs fall down because they underestimate their capital needs. So when they go to lenders or go to investors who are very well versed in how much a business actually needs, they're afraid to ask for as much as they think they need. But an undercapitalized business is very risky. You need to make sure that you have enough money in reserves and coming in to keep your business going until you grow to the point where you can fund yourself. Then you need a marketing and sales plan. You have to have a way of getting the word out about your product or service and a way, a series of channels to distribute them. And then a growth plan. How are you going to move your business forward? What's it going to look like in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years? Now, that may change as you grow and develop, but you have to have a vision to shoot for now in order to keep your business on track. And, you know, that can be summarized in one page very simply. We recommend going a little bit deeper than that, but it doesn't have to. This doesn't have to be a six-month full-time job. You really need to make it a growing, living document that you check in with regularly to keep your business on track.
So I need to read a 360-page book to write a 5 to 10-page business plan.
Well, the great thing about our book is the way that it's segmented. It's a quick read. We break everything down into the most basic components. So it's a quick read, and it's something that is divided very clearly. So you can turn to the chapter or the section that you're working on at that point. So it's not a daunting read. It's very quick and very at a glance and easy to understand.
Well, and for listeners who may not have been taking notes as I just was, I think, you tell me if I got this right, as you broke it down into five elements, the business plan, it was basically a mission statement. Two was map out your operations. Three is a money plan. Four is a marketing and sales plan, and five is a growth plan, just boiling it down.
Right.
Okay.
And obviously you can go into a great deal more detail, and depending on what you're using your plan for, you may need to. For example, if you're a high-tech company that's going for millions of dollars in investor financing or loans, you are going to need to put a little more time and effort into explaining what you're doing, how your idea is different, and how and when you're going to be profitable. On the other hand, if you're a startup, you know, say you're taking your landscaping business regionally or you're turning your love of making jewelry into a new business, this is something that you can do very simply and use it for your own management purposes and your own goal setting. It allows you to think through the process of your business, the money of your business, how everything's going to get done before you invest a dime. And that, in the long run, can be the biggest money savings of all.
What about, there's people who see that they need to do a business plan and they freak out because they're not good at writing things. And a lot of them will stop right there because I can't write, my writing is no good. What about those people? I mean, that's a very simple and basic issue that some people just can't deal with.
It absolutely is. I would say that if you are approaching professionals with your plan, it's a good idea at the very least to find a spouse or a cousin or even a local student from a community college to look over your plan and give it a proofread, or help you with the writing, to sit down and you tell them what to write and they craft the words on the page. If you're doing it for yourself, there's no spelling test. There's no grammar grade on your business plan. Really, it's about getting the ideas on paper and running the numbers so that you know before you start to invest that you have a viable idea and a plan, a reasonable and viable plan to make it happen.
So that's an interesting point, I think. You're saying basically there's two possible audiences for a business plan, and they're both just as important. One is, if you're going to go out to get other people to invest, very important that you have something that looks professional and makes you look not like a complete idiot, and and no disrespect to the series. And two, if you're planning to fund this yourself, you still need that effort. You need to sit down and write it all out, have a plan that even if it's just for you to follow, right?
Absolutely. For example, let's take our landscaper. It's a seasonal business. Let's say this individual is going to need $15,000 in equipment and can expect to mow a certain number of lawns and do a certain amount of groundskeeping per year. Well, at what point do you become profitable? How much money do you need to bring in to pay yourself, to pay your employees, to pay your insurance? Differentiating cash flow from profit is a very important exercise, and it's something that a business plan makes you do. Lack of cash flow kills as many businesses as lack of profitability. So this planning process lets you take a look at what money is going out and what money is coming in, and how does that match up? And if it doesn't match up, what adjustments do you need to make in order to keep your business viable?
How much do I need to know when I sit down to write the business plan? And is there going to be am I going to be challenged later on my numbers?
Well, it depends on whom your audience is. If you're going in to an investor or to a lender to get money, you can expect to be challenged on your numbers. But fortunately, if you turn to your industry associations, if you turn to research databases like Hoover's, which are often available free with a local library membership, you can get a lot of good information about typical expectations for your industry. Your local Small Business Development Center is another great place to turn, or your local chapter of SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives. Both of these offer free and low-cost resources to help you create your business plan and to do industry research. So you're going to get a feel for how to measure the market that you're targeting. What is the average size of the business in the market you're targeting? And that's going to give you good information about how much of the market share you need to attract in order to keep your business viable and then to grow your business. So the answer to your question is, do expect to be challenged on your numbers. Even if this plan is just for yourself, don't make assumptions. Challenge yourself on your numbers, because if your numbers are wrong, the plan is not going to help you. And that's why it's also important to not just write the plan and put it on a shelf. You need to have a regular period of check-in. We typically recommend quarterly, but biannually can work, and some businesses, when they're a little more established, do it annually. But check your plan and check your numbers. Make sure that what's actually happening in your business is on track with what is in your plan. And that could be that your business is off and you need to adjust your expenses down, or you need to ramp up your sales efforts or find new distribution channels. On the other hand, your business could be growing a lot faster than you anticipated, in which case you may need to accelerate the time period where you're investing in new people and new resources. So that's an important benchmark as well.
Are there different two-part questions? Are there different types of business plan, and are there examples of different types in the book?
There are, and we I believe have about five five samples of business plans in the new book, and they're fresh. They span different industries, and there actually are different types of business plans. And we don't advocate a rigid, on page 4 you need to have this, and on page 22 you need to have that. You need to write your plan to reflect your business, and it may be that your operations are complex, so that's the meatiest part of your plan, to explain who your people are, where your talent is, how is this work getting done. On the other hand, you may have a very sophisticated marketing and sales program that needs explanation. In that case, your marketing plan may be beefier. So there are no fixed a business plan has to look like this norms. A business plan has to sell your business, whether it's to an outside audience or to yourself.
I'm thinking that besides not writing a business plan altogether, there are some pretty common mistakes that people make in creating the business plan. What would that be? Is it a matter of sins of omission, or and then also let me add on to that question while you think about that for a second. Depending on who you're presenting this to and what you're asking for, should that prompt you to raise the level of your business plan in terms of its look, its design, its depth of numbers? So I guess those are two very different questions. Sorry.
Sure. Well, the first one, remind me, the first one was?
Oh, sure, like I'm paying attention. What are the common mistakes? What are the common mistakes?
Yes. So there are several. First, procrastination. Don't be afraid of it. Just dive into it. Work on it 30 minutes a day if you have that, or clear out a Saturday morning to sit down and get started. We have a chapter in the book that outlines what you're going to need to get started. So you can slowly work on gathering the materials you're going to need to work on your plan. And really, it can be broken down into 15, 20-minute chunks. That when you, like anything else, when you devote a little bit of time to something regularly over a period of time, that adds up to a lot and it gets the job done. So second mistake I mentioned earlier, be real about your financials. A common mistake that entrepreneurs make, and I've been consulting with entrepreneurs and writing about entrepreneurs and been an entrepreneur for 15 years. So I see this over and over and over again. Entrepreneurs like to be optimistic. And when it comes to financials, that can be a deadly mistake. You need to make sure that you have enough money for your plan for your business to operate and grow until it becomes profitable, and always have, a lesson that we forgot in the 90s before the tech crash, always have more money coming in than is going out. So those are mistakes. Don't be real about your financials. And, and if the financials are too high, making up rosy numbers isn't going to do anything but cause you to make an expensive mistake. If the financials are not working out, you need to tinker with the actual business until they do work out and then move forward. I also think that the stuff it in a drawer mentality. Okay, I did my business plan. That's done. What's next? Your business plan doesn't work for you that way. You have to keep in touch with it. You have to keep checking in. And a good way to do that is to make an appointment with your accountant, maybe once a year or twice a year, as part of your check-in process. And that person can give you an objective sounding board and help you with the comparison of what's really going on in your business versus what you had in your plan. So those, I think, are the main mistakes. Making sure, as far as ramping up the value of the plan, I don't think any investor ever forked over a few more million because of the quality of paper anyone used. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And I think while you want to look professional, you don't need to have too much angst over, the color of the paper, the design of the business plan. It should be clean. It should, it should be nicely formatted. It should be free of grammatical errors and mistakes. Again, hire a proofreader, get your cousin who was an English major to go through the plan, and run it by your advisors, your personal advisors, the people that you turn to for advice about your business. But other than that, I think the value is in the ideas and in the execution plan of the business.
And what about some examples of some of the worst, the most awful, terrible business plans you've come across? What are some of the really, really, really atrocious things people have put into these?
Well, you know, I am a believer in entrepreneurship. I don't think I've ever seen a business plan where I've said, yeah, no. I think that that when someone sits down to write about a business, it's almost like sitting down to write about a child. There's so much of yourself invested in what you're creating that you need to that the passion shows through. It may not show through as clearly as it should, and it may not show through as accurately as it should, but I think that, you know, I personally have never seen anything that made me smack my head and throw my hands up and run screaming out of the room.
Never?
Never, no. And maybe that is just the optimist in me, entrepreneur at heart that I am. But no, I think that every business plan I've seen and everyone that I've worked with has been a truly honest effort at expressing a good business idea.
No, okay, I'm gonna accept that answer. Well, let me ask you this though. I mean, and there are good business plans and there are bad business plans. Do bad business plans ever float in spite of themselves?
Well, sure. I think there are good salespeople out there, and I think that, you know, that there are folks who can go out and, you know, to use the old cliche, sell ice to people in the tundra. So, I think that the numbers, though, when you're approaching someone who runs an established venture capital firm, or you're approaching, especially in this tight credit market, a lender, you really have to have your numbers in place, and you have to have support for the numbers. And that comes, again, from the industry research that I mentioned earlier. Go to your trade association. Go to your local small business development center. Call the folks at SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, and get good, hard data that you can point to and say, my numbers are based on this research. And that way, when they're questioned, you have answers, and you also have a better understanding of the environment that you're walking into.
Earlier, when we started the conversation, talked a little bit about why it was time for a new edition of the book. I wondered if part of that was that, you know, there are fewer angel investors out there. The credit has dried up. Are those areas that the book has changed in? Like, let's say somebody's listening to us and they bought the book in 2005, and they're wondering, well, you know, I'm thinking about a new business plan or a new business, and I'm thinking maybe I should update. Is it because that kind of thing has changed, so the things that they'll write in the book, they'll write in their business plan would be different?
I think so. We give clear instruction and new resources that are both online and available in your community. There's been a move toward more economic development organizations that are community-based, more nonprofits that are focusing on businesses. We heard Goldman Sachs last year come out with a plan to assist 10,000 small businesses with funding, with consulting. So there are these programs that are out there, and we have some information on those. But more importantly, what we do have are updated sections on how to incorporate social media into your business plan, and some updated data in terms of what's really going on out there. Now, there was, along with this bad news about 2009 from the Venture Capital Association, there was some good news because investments among venture capitalists were up in the fourth quarter, and that bodes well for the coming year. We see this move to entrepreneurship and creating business plans, you know, the money is going to start to loosen up as we see things turn around more.
Gwen, have you ever watched the ABC show Shark Tank?
I have. Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give some of the people pitching their ideas there? Do you get the sense watching that there's a few of them who have never written a business plan and somehow stumbled their way into that setting?
Sure, I think that's true in any area, but it's most unfortunate on a nationally syndicated television show. I think the old elevator speech adage, which has a business plan analogy, is important. If you can't state what your business is and what it does in the time it takes for a brief elevator ride, you're overthinking it. You need to be able to boil down who you are into 30 seconds or less. In a business plan, we do that via the executive summary, which is the last thing that you write, even though it's the first thing that appears in the plan. It's about 2 to 3 pages, and it's the diamonds of your plan. It's the best stuff. Why should I keep reading further? When you write your executive summary, it's part information, but mostly sales piece. It's selling your business and selling the rest of the plan to the investor, to the lender. So that, I think, is that would be the advice that I would give these folks, is to really boil down, who are you? Why should I care about you? So what? Knock my socks off into a very brief pitch. Pique the attention of these investors and then give them the information that they need.
So I guess this will have to be the last question, but it's a fascinating book, a lot of great information, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that's what I get paid to do. So I want to ask you this question. Are there any particular success stories that you can point to, people who use, for example, the first edition and wound up launching? It doesn't have to be, you know, billion-dollar companies, but successful companies that maybe folks might recognize, or just on a regional basis even?
You know, we've gotten a lot of anecdotal feedback, nothing that I can point to specifically. And those individuals who've contacted me directly to work with them on their business plans have, unfortunately, I've signed non-disclosure agreements with all of them, which is a standard practice when working with someone on a business plan. But the book sells, and it's in its second edition, so I think that's our pat on the back for the work that we've done.
Well, that kind of says a lot right there, doesn't it? well, folks, you can find the just-released second edition of Gwen Moran and Sue Johnson's book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Business Plans, in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it online at mrmedia.com. And Gwen, before you go, can people find you on Twitter or Facebook? Do you do any
Absolutely.
Of that stuff?
Absolutely. I tweet at Gwen Moran, and my website is www.gwenmoran.com.
Oh, great. We will get those, we'll get links up to those on the website. And Gwen, it was fascinating, and thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. And folks, for more original interviews on business topics, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the founder of Four Seasons Hotels and Resorts, Isidore Sharp, as well as Guy Kawasaki from Alltop, several folks who star on ABC's Shark Tank, and many more. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media Radio listeners. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice from more than 75,000 in stock when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and come spend it with us. Thank you.